I'm mailing a bat with Matthew Seville, and he is the writer and director of Juniper. Welcome, Matthew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Where in the world are you?
I'm in Auckland, New Zealand, which, if you know where that is below Australia.
Australia's on my bucket list. I am dying to go to, I will go to Auckland, New Zealand as well.
That's all right. I can be the second cousin to Australia, but yeah, both places are beautiful and we're very similar, slightly different people. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually the next day by you.
It is. Yes. I think I'm 23 hours ahead of you, if that makes sense. So whenever I go in your direction, I sort of go backwards in time and then I go forwards when I come back.
It's all good. So let's start from the beginning, Matthew. I know that you wrote this script. So what inspired it? Such a beautiful story.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I had this strange experience of not really knowing my grandmother until she came to live with us for the last part of her life. And so she really did break her leg and had a splint, and she, you know, enjoyed a gin. So some of those things are kind of real. And she was she was at the Spanish Civil War and that kind of a thing. So she was kind of an inciting incident. And then from there comes a fictional film.
So I love how you said she enjoyed her gin. That's like, you know, that's a big part of this movie.
That's probably the understatement is the thing. And yes, my mum did try to water it down at one point and it didn't go well. And and she was very smart, very intelligent woman. Yeah.
So before we get to this one scene that was so great with Charlotte Rampling, I understand that you actually traveled quite a ways to convince her to do the movie.
Yeah, I flew to Paris. We kind of we managed to get her to read the script and she liked it. But, you know, New Zealand's a long way away. So she was like, well, I like the script, but I'm never going to come to New Zealand. So I wrote her a bit of a fan love letter saying how much would be great, good if she came and would she at least just meet with me. And so the producer and I flew to Paris and I proceeded to try and woo her.
You wined and dined her with lots of gin.
Well, yeah, there was more wine than gin. I did take two bottles of good, you know, high-end New Zealand gin hoping that would help. But really, what she agreed to was like 3 days. She said she'd give me 3 days to hang out with her. And we worked on the script together. And I think she's very smart. She likes the idea of collaborating. And so when I think she felt that was going to be part of this process, she was happy to come.
Now, what would you have done if she said no?
I don't know. It's a hard question. I mean, she was the right person. She was the perfect person. So it kind of wasn't really an option. I suppose I would have reluctantly gone back to the drawing board. Yeah.
Why was she the best person for the role? What was it about her?
Well, I suppose that character had a sense of power and had a sense of power over men in her youth, and that was really important. So I found a photo of my grandmother once when I was quite young and I didn't know it was her, and I said, "Dad, who's that? She's a babe." And he was like, that's your grandma. And so I kind of needed someone who had that power and had that gravitas and could take that into sort of being an older woman. And part of the story is really about that we don't really feel like we're getting older. We sort of see ourselves at a certain age, and time has a different opinion, you know.
And then you had to go to therapy for quite some time because you thought your grandmother was a babe.
Well, no, it just sort of was one of those moments where you go, oh yeah, of course, we're all young once, and we're all we all have this kind of shared history of, I suppose, being young and being attractive or whatever it is, or those kinds of things. And sometimes you forget that. My auntie recently passed, and I went to her funeral over the weekend. My memories of her, I met her when she was in her 50s, so I always see her as that kind of age, you know. But of course, her friends and who she is, they see her at a different age and a different person, you know. So I suppose that's one of the ideas that's in the film.
Yeah, and you managed to have a young photo of Charlotte Rampling in the film, which was so cool.
Well, there's a lot of young photos of Charlotte Rampling, so we were blessed in that regard, yeah.
And she said, no worries, you can have it, put it out.
Yeah, well, some of them are hers. I mean, she had approval on all the photos that were in the film of her, but some of them are her copyright and some of them are the copyright of the photographers who took them, yeah.
Now, the young actor, I've never seen him before, and he's wonderful. Where did you find him? George Ferrier? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, George Ferrier, like a horse farrier, you know. I'm assuming he comes from a long line of blacksmiths or something like that. but he, yeah, we just found him. You know, we auditioned about 250 young men. And he rose to the top. He had a little bit of experience, but not much before. And it just became very apparent. So I auditioned him just over, you know, through self-tapes and through Skype because he wasn't in the country. And it was a leap of faith that worked out. But he's a real, real, real talent. I'm really proud of him. I think he's done great.
Yeah, he's easy on the eyes too. He's cute.
Is he? Oh, right. Well, that wasn't a prerequisite, but I think, you know, there's something interesting in that you don't expect him to sort of have the troubles that he's having in life. And that's kind of was interesting to me.
And in a way, he's playing you. Yeah.
Well, kind of. He's like the better looking version, but I suppose he's playing a version or someone who's based a little bit on me, on my own experiences a little bit but also my friends' experiences. I never lost my mother, but I had friends who went through that, and so I was looking at them a lot and trying to understand what that was like for them. I couldn't imagine it myself, you know. So there's a mixture of, when you're writing, I suppose it is pieces of you and pieces you know, but it sort of comes into this fictitious story that has moments of truth, you know. So like the knife and the door story that finishes that's at the end of the film, you know, that actually is a real story from my dad's experience with my grandmother. But you know, she wasn't a war journalist, but she had been to the Spanish Civil War, or been there, yeah.
And did she try to clock your father with a glass?
no, that never happened. Yeah, no.
How many takes did you have to do for that scene? And I wish I was there, because it looked like it was hysterical.
It was a lot of fun. The key thing was like maybe convincing everyone like that it was, you know, that she was going to throw this glass at him, and that it wasn't, you know, they were playing this game of chicken and getting them to understand that it was awful, but also very, very funny. What it turns out that Charlotte Rampling is not only an amazing actor, but she's also a very good shot. So I wouldn't play her in a game of darts. I mean, she was a good shot with the glasses. So when she was throwing those glasses, she hit it dead on target every time, and in about one take or two takes, I think. So,
oh, that's great, because there is that scene where she's shooting the clay shells, and that look of glee on her face. It looks like she really was having a great time.
I think she loved those. Like, there was definitely a moment when she met those boys where she kind of fell in love with them, and you could see it, you know. Yeah, she enjoys being around people, and she enjoys the experience of meeting new people. And I think that's what, you know, I know she had a really good time coming here. It's a long way away, but she got along well with everyone and left feeling pretty happy, I think.
So where did she stay, and where was this shot? Behind me, it's so beautiful. I don't know if you can see it.
All right.
Gorgeous.
Well, this was shot mainly in Auckland, but outside in the countryside.
How cold does it actually get in Auckland?
It's a pretty moderate climate. It gets quite hot and cold, but it's not like, you know, New Zealand's got everything. So if you go further down south, it's freezing. Up here, it's kind of, I don't know, mild. It's been very wet. I don't know if you know, we had a big cyclone about a week ago, which sort of was kind of insane. In fact, I was doing a Q&A in America with with the cyclone in the background.
Oh no, you thought your house was going to blow?
Well, I didn't think it was going to blow, but there was a lot of people around me who were in trouble. I managed to get through okay, but it's been a bit harrowing.
So I want to talk to you about the funeral scene. There's a chant, if you recall, that you did. Where did that come from?
Well, that's kind of like a New Zealand thing. It's Maori culture. So we're a Polynesian country first. And we have a pretty, a relationship with Maori. And so if you go to school in New Zealand, you would learn to do a haka. And if you played rugby, you would have a first 15 haka. So the first 15 is like the number one rugby team kind of a thing. So if two schools met on a big game, they would do their school hakas to each other and before playing if it was a big game. And that's a big part of our culture. So you'll know the All Blacks, if you know who the All Blacks are, they're a big rugby team. They do that before every game. And I suppose it's kind of like if you get a haka at your funeral, it means you're quite respected. And the idea was that Ruth is, you know, she's earned the respect, and all these boys, they love her, you know, so they're there doing this for her, just it's like a 21 gun salute, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't expect to cry. And I did. I mean, I don't want to spoil the ending for anyone, but it's a doozy. So, what do you think audiences will come away with? What sort of messages or themes were you trying to say?
You know, I hope they find the film funny as well as moving. I hope they come away with seeing themselves in it, you know, and seeing their own families. I think we all have black sheep, and we all have people we're estranged from. And I think a lot of people connect with that idea, and with that idea of also forgiveness. You know, it doesn't all have to be resolved, but we can forgive each other. And I think, I suppose I was hoping that to take an audience through that kind of, you know, catharsis with this film, and share something that I hope they saw themselves in some ways. Yeah. And so it's nice, you know, talking to you when a New Zealand film with New Kiwis in it, and you can react to it emotionally and respond. That means a lot.
Oh yeah. Did it make you cry?
The film, the it's a funny one because it's so, there's lots of pieces of me inside it. So I do have quite an emotional response. And if I watch it with an audience, I still feel things. It's very hard outside. But if you watch it with an audience and you can feel them, you know, going on, like we had a great experience at Palm Springs Film Festival, and there was about 800 people there, and you could just feel them laughing, and you could feel the emotion. And so it does, I suppose, because I do think of my own grandma with it, it does carry a kind of a weight still, even though I've seen it far too many times.
What did Charlotte think about the film? What did she say to you?
I think she's really proud of it. She loves it. And I think she's very proud of the work. I think she loves Ruth, you know. I know she is proud of it.
she
loves it. She's been great with press as well as a result of that. But I think she feels like it's authentic and truthful and honest. And I know she loved playing Ruth, but for her it's also the experience of things, you know. So I know she loved the experience of coming to New Zealand and making this film with us, which was, you know, that's the other side of it. The film is important, but also the journey and all the people that you meet along the way are important as well. So I know she had a good experience in all those levels. So you know, we're still friends.
Oh good. So she'll come back to visit.
I don't know if she'll come back. Funnily enough, her son is actually a Kiwi. So, her first marriage, she married a Kiwi, and I think she visited New Zealand in the 70s. Or, you know, and
did you know that going in?
I Sort of after I started doing research, I didn't know it at first. And then I was like, oh, right. So her son lived in New Zealand for, I think he was born in the UK, but his father was Kiwi and he lived in New Zealand for a while with his dad. And now he lives in the UK. So she has got this kind of New Zealand connection.
Oh, how gorgeous. There's another wonderful scene with the white stallion. Is it a stallion or a mare? I couldn't tell.
Well, it is a mare.
A mare, okay.
It is a mare, but yeah. So that's it took a lot of work. It was very hard.
Why?
Well, you know, horses they just don't do exactly what you want them to do. Yeah, but you know, it's like all those things. One of the things I've learned about working with animal trainers is they'll tell you, right, we can do this, and then you'll get to the day and they'll be like, well, I can do this. You know what I mean? So pulling that off was incredibly hard, but we got there in the end. And you know, credit to George for going through that, because he was doing some emotional moments. Well, really it was all about whether the horse would walk into frame at the right stage, you know.
So what are you most proud of? This is not your first directing job, is it? You've directed before. Yeah.
Well, it's my first feature film written and directed by me. So I've made a couple of shorts and directed some television in New Zealand, but it's the most personal sort of thing I've made, you know, outside of the two short films.
So there's a lot of pride in this film, I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's you put a lot of effort into something and it's kind of a risk because you're sort of exposing yourself, and I don't know, it can go out there and you don't really know, and you just have to kind of believe in it. And I think, you know, I am proud of it, and I'm really happy with the response to it. And I suppose there was a huge as you're coming out, you're like, oh, people get it. Will they, like, I don't know. You know, you go through these things, and you know, that journey was probably about a year and a half ago. So I'm not so intimidated by it all now, but yeah, it is, you know, it's a full on thing to put yourself out there, I guess.
Oh yeah. So will you direct again? Is it something you'd like to do?
Oh yeah. Well, I love it. I mean, I love working with actors. I love creating and I love telling
because
stories.
You were an actor first. Yeah.
Yeah, I still do acting. I do a reasonable amount of it, but it's not my focus. So writing and directing is the major thing for me, and I'm working on a few new films and a TV series and that kind of a thing. So
Ooh, I love television. Television that will like air on one of the streaming channels, sort of thing.
Oh, maybe. It's in early development at the moment, but I suppose the television I'm working on is mainly sort of Kiwi stories, those kind of a thing. So I might get there. It depends on how good it is, I suppose. Yeah, it'll be good. It's going to be good.
Well, go see Juniper. It opens Friday, February 24th here in the States. And you can see this beautiful landscape behind me. And yeah, thank you.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time, and I'll see you next time, hopefully.
Yeah, next time I'll ring you up if I ever come out there, and we'll grab that white stallion.
Honestly, if you come out to New Zealand, I'll take you out to the farm, and you know, you can have some New Zealand lamb if you eat lamb. Yeah,
my husband does.
Right.
He
awesome, New Zealand. Yeah, awesome. I'll give him some. Brilliant.
Sounds like a date. Okay.
Sounds awesome. Thanks so much.
Take good care.
You too.
Right. Bye.
Most people like sunsets. I love the sunrise.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.